You're listening to CKUW 95.9 Winnipeg.
Coming up on the Children's Hour, we're going to go inside caves with three cave biologists who are researching life underground. Dr. Diana Northup and her team are from the University of New Mexico's Libraries and Learning Sciences. They're researching the cutting edge of life inside caves and discovering that caves are teeming with life. We'll also learn the basic facts about caves, like how they're formed and where we can find them. This episode is mixed with great music. Stick with us for the Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. We're a New Mexico-based nonprofit organization dedicated to giving kids opportunities to create radio. You can learn a lot more about us at childrenshour.org.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
What kind of jewelry do speleothems wear?
I don't know what.
Cave pearls.
It's time for the Children's Hour. Kids Public Radio.
Thank you.
That was Mudcakes with the title track from their release called Cave Baby. You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone here at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and on Zoom with a whole lot of kids. Who do we have with us today?
Hi, it's Lily Mae.
Hello, it's Amadeus.
Hi, it's Nina.
Hi, it's Kodiak.
Hello, it is Corbett.
Hi, it's Beth.
Hi, it's Evan.
Hello, it's Luminata.
Hi, my name's Thorfinn.
Hi, it's Xavier.
Hi, it's Jack.
Hi, it's Daniel.
Hi, it's Amaya.
Hello, this is Cade.
Well, thanks for being here. Today we have a great lineup of guests, three people who study caves. Is there anyone else like me who just loves caves?
I find caves really interesting. There's always something about them that they kind of seem a bit like an alien world.
Totally.
It's a lot of fun to map caves.
Whoa, mapping caves.
I think sometimes caves are scary.
I think a lot of people feel that way. They're a little spooky. You know, you never really know what you're going to find in a cave.
There's great places to see caves in New Mexico, too.
Yes, like Carlsbad Caverns down in southern New Mexico. And in fact, there are caves all over this beautiful planet that we live on. And today we're going to learn a lot more about caves. And we're going to learn about an incredible thing called extremophiles. There's a lot to learn. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
There's a cave in the woods. There's a cave, do we dare to go in? There's a cave in the woods. There's a cave, do we dare to go in? There could be treasure hidden behind a rock.
But there could be some snakes, and that would be quite a shock.
But there could be a doorway to another dimension.
Yeah, but there could be a bear. Can't you feel all the tension? I certainly can.
There's a cave in the woods.
I understand.
There's a cave, do we dare to go in?
No.
There's a cave in the woods.
In the woods.
There's a cave, do we dare to go in? We could be peering at petroglyphs all over the wall.
Oh, it's most certainly dark. I'm sure that we will fall.
Your sense of adventure is second to none.
This spelunking venture is not the least bit fun for me, anyway.
Oh, there's a cave in the woods. There's a cave, do we dare to go in?
I'd rather be Nick Cave.
There's a cave in the woods. There's a cave, do we dare to go in?
Now, I think we've had enough excitement for today. This cave, while full of possibilities, is very dark. Probably home to a wild animal. Maybe it's just a pit that goes on forever. And if we fall, we might break our backs or worse, maybe get grounded.
There's a cave.
There's a cave
in the woods.
It's in the woods.
There's a cave that we dare to go in.
No.
There's a cave in the woods.
It's in the woods.
A cave, do we dare to go in?
Reservations. I have to go to the bathroom.
That was The Cave off Desert Island Disc by Recess Monkey. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and with us on the show today are three biologists who are experts in caving. Dr. Diana Northup is a world-renowned caver. In fact, NOVA has even made a special featuring Diana. And she is at the University of New Mexico in the biology department. Welcome to the Children's Hour again, Diana Northup.
Thanks, Katie. I'm happy to talk about caves, and they're alive.
That's what I love. Let's get back to that. We also have with you Jenny Hathaway. She is in charge of the lab at the University of New Mexico where specimens from caves get brought in. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me.
And Ryan Ozadalar is a senior at the University of New Mexico. He's in the same lab that's run by Jenny Hathaway, and he studies microbes that live in caves. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thanks, Katie, for having me.
Well, I'm so glad you're all here. The kids have a lot of questions for you, but I guess let's just start first with the very most basic thing. Is a cave always something that's like underground? What's the most basic definition of a cave?
So a cave is always underground, despite the fact that many people who go into Carlsbad ask, how much of the cave is underground?
It's all underground.
And it's so dark, you can't see your hand in front of your face. The temperature is stable, and it's really humid, and there's all kinds of amazing life in there.
Well, that's what's so fascinating, is that these are not dead places. You almost feel like going into a cave, like it's impossible for anything to live in there. After all, our definition of what it is to be alive is, you know, we breathe and maybe we see the sunshine, but these critters never see the sunshine.
No, I like to think of it as the walls are alive.
Are they literally alive?
They're covered with microbes that get things to eat out of the rock. They eat other microbes. They eat things in the air.
What's a microbe?
So a microbe is something that often is so small you can't see it without a microscope. They're like 1/100th of the width of one of your hairs. So think about how small that is. But then imagine putting billions of them together in one little colony and then having water bead up on it. And it looks like the walls are just alive.
How did these microbes get to evolve in such harsh conditions in caves? And why aren't they in like a normal place?
So the microbes, we're not quite sure how they get into all the places of the caves. We've done some studies to see if the microbes in the soil above the cave are the same as the microbes in the cave, and it turns out they're not really the same. So they're coming in probably on airflow and coming in through the soil, and then they colonize the cave walls, and they can actually help make some of the formations that you see in caves.
So why? I mean, I think one of Amadeus's questions was like, why do they live there?
Bacteria live everywhere. But the problem with living in a cave is that you can't use sunlight as your first source of food, right? So they have to find a different way to find food. One of the things they do is they learn how to eat the rock. And so there are certain types of bacteria that get energy from that process, and they're called lithotrophs.
So lith meaning rock, troph meaning to eat.
Weird rock eaters. We could call these microbes rock eaters.
How many species of microbes are there?
In the cave, there are thousands of species of microbes.
And we're still discovering lots of new species of microbes. So one of the great things about learning about the microbes in caves is that there's so many that haven't been described yet, and we only know them from their DNA sequence, and that's how we identify them.
Wow. So you're saying that maybe once upon a time, spelunkers and scientists who studied caving thought, nah, there's this one species of microbe that lives in this particular cave. But now that we can do DNA sequencing, we understand, oh no, there's actually thousands of species.
We're just discovering a whole new world. And that's part of what Ryan's getting to explore at UNM.
Yeah, so looking into cave research, it's truly a fascinating field. Getting exposed to so many different microbes with the ability to eat rock and form these big communities called biofilms where they just share nutrients. It's a very complex community, but they all help each other out to help survive the, it's not really a harsh environment, but a very different environment.
And some of them eat each other.
Wow. So you're saying that these microbes live in this cave, they eat the rock, they eat each other.
And they eat things that come in from the surface. So we mainly eat carbon, and these guys, some of them eat carbon. And if you go into a cave, you shed skin cells, and they eat things like that.
That's Dr. Diana Northup from the University of New Mexico. We're talking about all things caves today on the Children's Hour. But first, this is Climb a Mountain by the Walkin' Jim Stoltz.
Come on, let's go hiking. We'll follow the mountain track. Bring along some water and don't forget your pack. We're gonna climb a mountain to see what we can see. We won't stop till we're up on top of the wild and blowing free. Up and up we're walking, as high as we can go. Up we see for miles and miles in the summertime there's snow. We're gonna climb a mountain to see what we can see. We won't stop till we're up on top of the wild and blowing free. In the rocks I see a marmot, he's basking in the sun. And if you hear him whistle, I'll bet he'll start to run. We're gonna climb a mountain to see what we can see. We won't stop till we're up on top with the wild wind blowing free. Way up on the mountainside, there's flowers everywhere. Red and blue and yellow, we'd better step with care. We're gonna climb a mountain to see what we can see. We won't stop till we're up on top of the wild wind blowing free. And pikas and eagles way up there. Here's a track still intact from a big old grizzly bear. We're gonna climb a mountain to see what we can see. We won't stop till we're up on top of the wild wind blowing free. As we reach the mountaintop, the wind begins to blow. There's a distant storm a-brewing and a lively bright rainbow. We're gonna climb a mountain to see what we can see. We won't stop till we're up on top of the wild and blowing free. It's time to head on down now to the valley far below. We're moving kind of slow now because we hate to go. We have climbed a mountain to see what we could see. We didn't stop or reach the top of the wild wind blowing free. With the wild wind blowing free.
I can dig in the dirt, I can dig in the sand. I can dig a big hole down with my little hands. I can dig up some worms who are living way down there. A little dirt under my fingernails, I don't really care. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tick tock, tick tock, tick. Tick tock, tick tock, tick. I'm a tick 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 tock kid. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tick tock, tick tock, tick. Tick tock, tick tock, tick. I'm a tick 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 tock kid. I can dig in the soil, I can drop in some seeds. I can dig a big hole, then plant a little tree. And I sing a little song as I'm covering the hole. Then I do a little dance so its roots will grow. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tick tock, tick tock, tick. Tick tock, tick tock, tick. I'm a tick 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 tock kid. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tick tock, tick tock, tick. Tick tock, tick tock, tick. I'm a tick 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 tock kid. We could dig up some gold if we had a treasure map. If we found a treasure chest, there'd be nothing wrong with that. So grab a shovel quick and let's get looking for the loot. If you do a little digging, then I'll share it all with you. Dig,
dog, dig a dog, dig, dig dog, dig a dog, dig. Dig dog, dig a dog, dig, I'm a dig a dig a dig a dog, kill. Dig dog, dig a dog, dig, dig dog, dig a dog, dig.
That's Harmonica Pocket with Dig a Dog Kid off of Sundrops. This is the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about caves. There's a lot more coming up. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated. You can learn more about us and support our work at childrenshour.org. New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs supports the Children's Hour. Museum of International Folk Art in Santa Fe, New Mexico celebrates cultural heritage from across the world. Plan your visit at moifa.org. Electric Playhouse supports the Children's Hour, now open in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Forum Shops at Caesar's Palace. Learn more at electricplayhouse.com.
I like all of the podcasts because they help me learn a lot. I'm Brooklyn Elder from Albuquerque.
Find hundreds of educational podcasts at childrenshour.org or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look for the Children's Hour. Welcome back to the Children's Hour. Today we're learning about caves from our three expert guests.
What kinds of larger creatures live in caves?
Ooh, I used to study what are called camel crickets, and there's one kind that's more adapted. It's lighter in color and has a longer ovipositor, which is how you lay your eggs deeper in the soil and protect them from the beetles that like to eat the eggs. So there's these crickets, and there's the beetles that eat those eggs. Do you know that there are actually centipedes and scorpions that are cave-adapted and have no eyes?
You're going to make people not want to cave if you tell them about
that. Oh, but they're so cool. They're completely white.
What is an extremophile?
So I would say an extremophile is someone who lives, we call it an extreme environment, and it's limiting in some way. So in the cave, one of the main limiting is that we don't have sunlight. So we don't have photosynthesis as the basis of our food chain. So they have to find other ways to live. But you can be an extremophile if you live in an extremely cold environment or an extremely hot environment. So bacteria and another domain of life called archaea that live in like a hot spring where it's almost boiling water, they are also extremophiles.
So extremophiles aren't just found in caves. They're found in extreme environments.
Exactly.
And we're pretty boring. We eat carbon and we like things to be sort of warm, but cave animals can exist in lots of different environments, and then extremophiles can exist in all kinds of environments everywhere.
What is the largest extremophile?
If you could go to places in Southeast Asia, there's some really big ones there. I haven't had the privilege of doing that, unfortunately, but there's some really cool spiders in the cave in Mexico where we go.
And then there's also in the cave in Mexico, there's white fish, but they kind of look like they have blue eyeshadow on, and they're very fun to look at.
Why are so many cave animals void of color?
So think about if you don't have a lot to eat, you've got to be careful with your energy. And so nobody can see you, so color doesn't matter. The ones that don't put their energy into pigment are more likely to survive. And if they reproduce, their kids become more and more white. Same with eyes. They aren't much use in the dark.
So they just evolve to eventually not have eyes.
Yes. And that makes different categories of cave animals. There are troglobitic ones, totally cave adapted, lose their pigment, get longer legs, lose their color. And then there's troglophiles, which live in the caves and are somewhat cave adapted, but there are also ones on the surface like them. And then there's troglozines, ones that come and go from the cave like the camel crickets or the bat.
Are some of these extremophiles helpful to humans?
Oh, yes. So we've been participating in studies where we've looked at a group of bacteria called actinobacteria, and they're responsible for something like 60% of the naturally occurring antibiotics out there. And in the caves, there's a lot of undiscovered types of actinobacteria that would have the potential to make new types of antibiotics.
Because there's no sunlight in caves, I'm sure it gets really very cold. So exactly how cold does it get?
It actually doesn't get very cold. So the thing about caves is they kind of stay at solid temperature year round. So it can be cold, like the caves out at El Malpais National Monument. They're about the same temperature as your refrigerator. Or like the cave in Carlsbad, I think it's about 55 to 60 the whole year round. So that's the great thing about caves is that their temperature doesn't fluctuate like it does on the surface.
That's Jenny Hathaway. She's in charge of the lab at the University of New Mexico in the biology department studying microbes. We're also here with Dr. Diana Northup, who is a cave biologist and a scientist at the University of New Mexico, and her student, Ryan Azadalar. And we're going to come back and talk more with Jenny and Dr. Northup and Ryan right after this. This is Dangerous Dick and the Duck Busters.
Now when I started caving a long time ago, you could fill quite a book with what I didn't know. No racks, no ascenders, and no LED lights. Only candles and carbide to show us the sights. But we somehow got by with our primitive gear. Though at our equipment, today's cavers would sneer. It was hard but rewarding. And it's easy to see why the caves of my young days keep calling to me. Now there's never a pitch like the first one you drop. No climb feels as good as the first one you top. There's nothing so tight as your first flat out crawl, and your first Vados Canyon's the best of them all. No caves as mysterious, no havens as high as the ones you encounter the first time you try. So when I cast me mind back, it's easy to see why the caves of my young days keep calling to me. It was there that I first learned the meaning of fear. When I pushed past my limits, my next move unclear. And the times when I slipped on the crux of a climb, and me mates held me up on that thin safety line. And once I was safe, they'd say, "Good effort, son. Next time you try that, you'll know just how it's done." Yes, the lessons I learned were both priceless and free. In the caves of my young days, you keep calling to me. It's years since I've seen them, those caves of my youth. I've seen lots of caves since, but to tell you the truth, as I move to the close of my caving career, it's those first trips that stick in my memory so clear.
Sometimes a whisper floats over the sea from the caves of my young days, so footloose and free. We haven't forgotten, please come back and see. Yes, the caves of my young days keep calling to me.
That was Marion McConnell with Wonders from Under the Ground. Caves of My Younger Days was Dangerous Dick and the Duckbusters. Both of those were winners at the annual National Speleological Society and are featured in their collection online. You can find links and pictures and so much more information at childrenshour.org. This episode is called Caves. We're talking with Dr. Diana Northup and Jenny Hathaway and Ryan Azadalar. They're all at the University of New Mexico, and they're in the biology department. They are spelunkers, and beyond that, they're biologists. We've got a lot more questions for them.
How does a cave form?
Ooh, that's a fun question. So there's lots of ways. I'm going to tell you two of them. Sometimes they form from the top down because rainwater comes in, hits the limestone, and makes carbonic acid, which eats away the rock. But what we have in New Mexico is something really special. They form from the bottom up. Hydrogen sulfide comes in the cave, hits the area where there's oxygen, and it converts to sulfuric acid, something that's really, really abrasive. So we study a cave in Mexico that drips pH 0 to 1 sulfuric acid and carves out the cave from the bottom up. This is why Carlsbad has the gigantic big room. It's what's called a hypogenic cave.
I wanted to just talk about one more form of cave, which is the caves that I like to study, and they're lava caves. And so they're formed when a volcano erupts and then the surface cools. And so it forms a hard lava on top, but underneath there's still a magma that's flowing through a tube. And then when the eruption stops, that tube is left empty, and that forms a lava cave.
And in fact, that's what Jenny's son, Jack, who's here, that's where he first went into his first cave when he was 4 years old.
Do you remember this, Jack?
No, not really.
Do you remember the second one?
Yeah, better.
There was a lot of boulders in the entrance, and you had to really sort of scale the boulders down into the cave.
What exactly is spelunking?
Spelunking is exploring caves. We actually call it caving. And so that's how I got interested in caves. When I was 18, I went in my first cave and it had a stream and I fell in over my head and I thought, oh, this is super cool. Because I had a really boring childhood.
You know, not everyone would have that experience and think, gee, I want to fall into a really deep, cold waterway in the middle of a cave for the rest of my life. Only you, really, and a few others.
Oh, no, there's lots in New Mexico who've been doing this for 50 years.
What do you enjoy about caving the most?
It's quiet. It's dark.
It's amazingly quiet, and time passes in a totally different way when you're underground.
And Ryan just went in his first cave about 2 months ago.
Yeah, Ryan, how was it? Your very first cave.
The first cave I went in was Four Windows Cave at El Mapais, and it was absolutely beautiful. You have to like climb down these big rocks, and then there's a whole bunch of just green moss blanketing all over the side. And once you're in, you get to experience just total darkness. But as you look around, you see an entire wall of just pure silver looking microbes because they have little water droplets and it makes it all look silver. We saw a bat roosting in one of the corners of the caves and we had to go climb and crawl and take all these amazing pictures.
What is the largest cave you have been in?
Probably for me, it's Lechuguilla Cave. That's where I did my doctorate work. And it's now, I'm probably going to get this wrong, I think it's about 140 miles long.
That seems just so crazy. You know, you can see a movie that has Dr. Northrup going through Lechuguilla Cave. We've posted a link on our website. She was part of a NOVA special.
What kind of gear do you have to wear into these extreme climates?
We wear many layers to stay warm. We have a helmet to protect us from rocks hitting us or we hitting our heads. We have really good lights to be able to see, and we have two backup lights because if your light dies and you're in the dark, it can be bad.
And then we always make sure we go caving with other people. And we tell people not in our party when we're going in the cave and what time to expect us back out. And the other thing that I really like caving is knee pads because there's a lot of caves that you have to crawl in.
Tell them about rappelling into that cave.
Yes, there's some caves that's so much fun. You get to actually rappel down ropes because you have to go down. It was probably about a 40-foot drop for the one that I went into. And then after a long day of caving, you have to haul yourself back up out of the cave, up that rope, back to the top.
Caves seem like really amazing environments, but they also are pretty fragile. And I think it would be really beneficial if you helped people understand if they decide to go into a cave, especially after hearing our great conversation, what do they need to do to protect that cave? First of all, recognizing that that cave is extremely fragile. If you knock down a stalactite, maybe it took 100 years for that stalactite.
Or more. And also when you go in, you want to have clean clothes. You never want to leave things behind.
Leave nothing but footprints. Take nothing but photos and kill nothing but time.
That's the motto of the National Speleological Society. And you want to constantly be aware of as you move so you don't accidentally hit and break something that took hundreds of years to form. And you don't want to touch the walls when you absolutely don't need to because you are shedding microbes. As you sit there, you're shedding thousands of skin cells and microbes every minute.
We've been talking with Dr. Diana Northup. She's from the University of New Mexico. She's a world-renowned cave scientist. We're here with Ryan Azadalar. He's a senior in her class, and he studies microbes. And the manager of their lab, Jenny Hathaway, has also been our guest. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the Children's Hour today. Thank you, guys.
I love all your questions.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
May you go to a cave.
There's lots more information about caving, including places you can go near you, a grotto you might find, and so much more at the National Speleological Society's website, caves.org. Or just go to childrenshour.org and look for this episode, Caves. We've got more coming up. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibus.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without spending a dime. You can learn more at tokenibus.org. Thanks to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. The Children's Hour is supported in part by New Mexico Arts, a division of the Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org. That's Farmer Jason from Nature Jam's Spelunker. I'm Katie Stone, and you're listening to the Children's Hour, and today we're learning about caves. There are some amazing caves around the world that are like hidden treasures waiting to be explored. One of the most famous caves is Carlsbad Caverns, here in the United States, not too far from the Children's Hour. This cave is known for its giant underground rooms that are filled with stunning rock formations. These formations, called stalactites and stalagmites, look like icicles made of stone, hanging from the ceiling and rising from the ground. Carlsbad Caverns also has a special room called the Big Room, and it is so large it can fit multiple football fields inside. It's like stepping into a different world where everything is made of rock. Another incredible cave is the Waitomo Caves in New Zealand. These caves are magical because they glow in the dark. Tiny creatures called glowworms live on the cave walls and ceilings. They shine with a soft blue-green light, and they make the cave look like a starry sky. When you visit, you can take a boat ride through the cave, and it feels like you're floating under a blanket of twinkling stars. The glowworms create such a peaceful place and an enchanting atmosphere that it's easy to forget that you're deep underground. One of the most breathtaking caves in the world is the Son Dung Cave in Vietnam. It's the largest cave on Earth. It's so big that it has its own river, jungle, and even clouds inside. When you walk through Son Dung, it feels like you've discovered a secret world. The cave is so enormous, it can fit an entire skyscraper. Exploring Son Dung is like an adventure straight out of a movie. It has giant walls and strange plants and underground rivers. There's another cave here in the United States that's part of a national park called Wind Cave National Park. It's located in the Badlands of South Dakota, and it's a fascinating place with a deep connection to history and culture. The entire canyon area is not only known for its stunning wind-carved formations, but also for its significance in the story of the Oglala Nation. According to the Oglala Lakota people, Wind Canyon is where their nation was born. Long ago, the wind blew through Wind Cave with great force, shaping the land and creating the first Oglala people. This story has been passed down through generations, reminding the Oglala Lakota of their deep connection to the land and the powerful forces of nature that shaped their world. Wind Canyon and Wind Cave are places of great beauty and significant sacred meaning, where the history of a people and the power of the earth come together. This next song is written by Sequoia Crosswhite, and it was recorded with Mrs. Blacksmith's, Mrs. White's, and Mrs. Ferguson's fourth grade classes after they visited Wind Cave National Park.
The beginning of Oglala Nation. rats on the ground. Hey, what's that red over here by my finger?
That's a ruby, don't you know?
Oh. And what makes that blue glints in the wall there?
Why, that's the sapphire's glow. Do you see those emeralds beaming like eyes on a lizard, winking at us from the floor?
When you're underground, the roots from the trees will tickle your face and elbows and knees. As you dig and dig, you might meet a grub munching on the dirt under your favorite shrub. When you're underground, could be day, could be night. As you dig even deeper down, you just might meet a mole in a tunnel watching TV. He'll invite you in for a hot cup of tea. When you're underground, you'll see the worms looking proud, all dressed for the show. What a good-looking crowd. And listen to the dirty violins and the flutes. The concert hall is made of rocks and roots. When you're underground,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're underground, when you're underground,
yeah, 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 when you're underground.
When you're underground, you'll hear the mushrooms sing, sing about the dampness and the rocks and things. When one sings high, the others do too. They sing rock and roll and the blue, 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 blues. When you're underground, you might miss the sun, but there are plenty of muddy, funny ways to have fun. You could do a dance with the beetles and the snakes. The people up top will think it's an earthquake. When you're underground,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're underground,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're underground, when you're underground,
yeah, 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 when you're underground, yeah, 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 when you're underground, yeah, 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 when you're underground.
That's Casper Baby Pants right here on the Children's Hour. Before that, the Pop-Ups with Cave of Wonders. This is the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. We've been learning about caves today on the show, and we've posted a lot of links and photos at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Caves. You can also listen to our podcasts at our website or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Wherever you do listen to podcasts, kindly leave us a review. It helps other people find us too. And for the teachers in our listening audience, we have a whole lot of curriculum for you. Go to childrenshour.org, look under our podcast tabs for episodes with learning guides. We'll be back next time for another edition of the Children's Hour. Thanks for listening.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
Today's episode was written and produced by me, Katie Stone, with help from Eli Henley and Christina Stella. Many thanks to our amazing guests, Dr. Diana Northup, Jenny Hathaway, and Ryan Azadalar.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
We post our photos and more on Instagram and Facebook. Find us at TCH Radio.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio.